I love how we got all pumped right before we started, and then we just made eye contact, and we just...
Anyway, welcome.
Welcome to Michael Beverly's Unnamed Podcast.
Episode 55. I think this is 55.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
I am your host, your gracious host, Michael Beverly.
And I am your not gracious host, Marshall fucking Bailey.
Anyway, we haven't put on an episode in like a month, I think.
I feel like it's been over a month.
Oh, God. I know it's been over a month since we recorded, but we did post that episode that Zach was on. But things got super hectic with finals week and just professional jobs that we were doing and just...
And we were stuck in that mine for a few weeks, too.
Oh, God, remember that?
Yeah, I mean, coming out of there, sun was really rough.
Poor Jeff. He didn't make it. But we did, because we were like, we got to record a podcast.
Yeah, and he was delicious.
It's too bad Marshall stopped being a vegetarian when we were trapped in that mine with Jeff.
I mean, moles aren't meat.
So anyway... Marshall, how have you been? Even though I see you every goddamn day.
I don't know. I've just contemplating everything.
Oh, phew. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Life is rough.
Are you going to elaborate on that? Or are you just going
to... Well, you know, we're going on to a year now that we've been on our own. And, like, everything that we, like... went into this whole thing with has like drained out now. All
the optimism,
the money, our podcast schedule.
That's true. Cause like we were keeping it consistent for a few weeks and then like, I think it's when Spring Awakening started that we were just like, fuck, we have no time.
Yeah. Then right after that was, not right after that, but
like a week or two after, it was finals week, and you had a much more rough finals week than I did.
Par for the course. I mean, 2 days no sleep. It's not that big of a deal.
You didn't even sleep here. You just stayed at school.
Yeah.
Did you crash in Fireside again?
No, I never slept, Michael.
You just didn't sleep?
I stayed up all night, then went to a final, two finals in a row. It was awful.
How do you function with no sleep during a test?
I don't know. There's something about the library that keeps me up.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Like, if I try to study here, I'd be out in, like, 20 minutes. Like, it could be the middle of the day and I'd be sleeping on the couch.
Like, I mean, like, I'm with you. I can't study at home, but I can't pull an all-nighter. And then take a test the next day and do fine.
I did better than I thought I would.
Like, you passed everything. So.
I didn't fail any of my classes, which I was very close to in one of them. But that's...
But anyway, so now that the semester's over, you and I did make Everything is Edible. And we posted that.
Yep.
That was really fun.
We've got a few more ideas that we're trying to, like, write a script for.
We got more. I know it's really sad when we only get like 75 views, and I'm just like, yeah, we got more views than I thought we would. But we got more views than I thought we would. So that was really cool. That was really fun to make, even though it was just a spur of the moment. You banging on my door, going, Michael, let's make a movie.
And I don't know. I got inspired by something, or I just got really bored, and I was like, wait. I'm not doing anything. Michael's in his... Let's record a damn thing.
Like, we didn't even, like, plan out shots or anything. And we wrote the script as we made, like, as we were going. It was just like, you think, all right, so I guess, like, the next thing we should do is we should record you opening up the cabinet. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's record me opening up the cabinet. And then I guess we should make, like, record you pulling stuff out of the cabinet. Yeah, let's record me pulling stuff out of the cabinet. And that's kind of the entire... That's our creative process.
Yeah. But now have like a notebook that is dedicated to podcasts and making films and shit.
Look at you.
Yeah, it's my handy dandy little yellow notebook.
But the so now that we're out of school, other than this stuff, what have you been doing, Marshall?
I've been playing like lots of video games and
didn't
crying.
You tell me that you didn't want a repeat of Christmas break?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Well, I think it's going to be a little bit better because I'm going to be starting at the zoo in like an hour. So I'll be doing something.
But I'd like get home and I'd be like, hey, Marshall, what did you do today? And you'd look at the TV and you'd have like Assassin's Creed up or something. And you'd go, this.
And yeah, I'm not proud of myself.
I mean, I'm not either. This entire week, I haven't done anything. I worked every day last week on some like acting stuff. And then this week I got home and I did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I haven't really found a job. I mean, I kind of have one, but it's hardly one. Like, I'll be starting at the Commons where I've been working for the past year, like in a few weeks. But even when I start there, it's not going to really like give me many hours.
Yay!
So I don't know how I'm going to survive.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So
what's the chances that I'll actually like die or something?
Yeah, very slim. But anyway, so what else? We've got you know what's coming up in 2 weeks and I'm super excited for?
Is it E3?
Yeah, it's E3.
Okay.
I am so fucking excited for E3. For those of you that don't know, E3 is the biggest gaming, I don't want to say convention.
It's convention.
The biggest gaming convention in the United States.
Press conferences.
Press conferences, yeah. And just like showing off new games. And there's so much stuff rumored that's going to be at this year's E3 that I'm super excited for it. Like Persona 5. Marshall, they're going to announce a U.S. release date for Persona 5.
They haven't done that already?
They announced the Japanese one. And then Atlas was like, hey, we're going to talk some more about it at E3 this year. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to announce a U.S. release date at E3 this year.
Okay, cool.
What else? What other games am I looking forward to? That's the big one. There's still Final Fantasy 15. We'll probably see more of that.
Games that I would normally be really excited for, I'm not, because mm-hmm. I know I can't buy them at like launch.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just got to steal my copy of Persona 5 whenever I'm done with it.
Yeah,
let's be real.
Plan.
Marshall, I haven't done this in a long time. I think I haven't done it since Mass Effect 3, where I just turned my life off for a video game. And now that I'm in college, it's almost impossible. But I'm going to try damn well as hard as I can to turn my life off for Persona 5.
You have a feeling you're going to play that game like at least 3 times through before I get my hands on it.
Like, I'm gonna probably skip class. I'm probably going to call out of work for a weekend. Like, I'm not going to give a fuck. I'm just going to be like, I want my Japanese dating sim dungeon crawler like right now. And I'm going to play through it. All the way, super quickly, and then I'll throw it at you, and I'll be like, get good, fucker. And
so what do you think's going to come out first, Persona 3 or Final Fantasy 15?
Well, I think the Japanese release date is Final Fantasy 15 first, and then Persona 5, like, 2 weeks later. And I think...
Do the fan bases overlap for that?
Somewhat, but not really. Final Fantasy 15's is way bigger than Persona's. But I think Persona's is more, like, dedicated. So I think if it came down to a choice between the two, the Persona fan base will still eat that shit up. Because the last game came out in, like, 2009.
Yeah, God. That's too long ago.
I think it's going to be same-day release worldwide, if not a month later.
Can you wait a month? Oh, my God. Joe's going to buy the Japanese version.
No, because there's so much... Can you imagine? There's so much text in that game.
Yeah.
If you bought the Japanese version. But, like, I think that Sega is putting so much money behind that game, they'll launch it. Same month,
wait,
if not within a month.
Joe buy the Japanese version of Monster Hunter?
No.
No?
He wanted to, but he didn't.
Oh.
He did buy the Japanese version of a fighting game, but that's a fighting game. You don't fucking need English in a fighting game.
I suppose so.
You know what else? You know what's coming out this month? That, speaking of Joe, he told me about this, and I completely forgot it existed. Did you know what? Mirror's Edge 2 comes out this month?
This month?
This month.
Oh.
It comes out like next week.
I never played the first one, so I can't really be too excited for it.
No, here's the thing. no one's excited for it.
Aww.
They made a big deal out of, because like Mirror's Edge is this cult classic like game that came out like super early Xbox 360 days. And like it didn't sell really well, but over time people are like, oh, this game had a lot of interesting ideas. So EA was like, hey, we're gonna make a sequel. We're gonna make a new one. And they never showed anything for it until like last year, and they showed very little. And then they announced like a closed beta, which no one's seen any footage for. And then it comes out next month. And I'm just kind of like,
what if it sucks?
It probably sucks. People were saying in the that played the closed beta that like you have to unlock skills. Like there's an RPG mechanic, but those skills are like sprint and wall run, which are really important in a game that's all about parkour.
Can you not sprint from the beginning?
Apparently not.
What the hell is that?
You have to unlock it.
So what are you doing for the rest of it before that? Just kind of like,
I guess like a leisurely jog?
Just a gentle stroll through the park?
You're just taking a nice little walk?
No, you haven't. We can't go up there because we haven't unlocked steps yet.
What else? There's a new Pokemon this year.
Again, can't be excited for it.
Why not?
Because I haven't bought a new Pokemon game in, like, ever.
But Marshall, they're 3D now. Like, it's not the little cute 2D sprites. Now it's like, you
Michael,
know.
Michael, I broke my 3DS and I'm still so sad about it.
That's a good point. Like, does it not work at all now?
No, it does. It just has a giant crack on the top screen.
Yeah, it's bad.
And it sucks because, like, all right, I'm going to crack out this 3DS again.
Ooh,
because
bad choice of words.
I haven't picked this up in, like, a year, so I think I'm going to start, like, oh, let's play Pokemon or something. Then I drop it on the floor, and it's just, it fell, like, a foot off the couch and hit, like, a sort of hardwood floor, and it cracked, and those things are supposed to be indestructible.
That's why they close. You got to get one of those, like, Fisher-Price 2DS
I dropped
ones.
It when it was closed.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
God, that sucks.
Like, those things are supposed to be, like, 5-year-old proof. It's not even a choking hazard. Well, I guess maybe the pen.
Yeah, the stylus is a choking hazard.
Yeah.
But if your kid's that stupid, you can tie it to the 3DS because there's a strap. But
is there?
Yeah,
okay.
there's like a charm strap, like a little loop that you put string.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, you broke it. That's true.
So, unless I get another, I don't have any
money to buy one.
Yeah, that was a fairly big investment the first time I bought it.
All right, Marshall, it's time to do a Kickstarter.
I'd stream Pokemon for you, but Nintendo won't let me.
Because, oh god, Nintendo's so bad about that. Of just like, we'll let you make videos of our games. But if you make any money, we keep like 70% of it.
Only 70?
They keep a lot of it. They used to keep all of it. And then they were like, you know, we're going to cut you guys a break. We're going to keep only 70% of it. And then you get to keep the other 30. And we're just like,
because we haven't made enough money off of Amiibos.
Well, I mean, they're like, we got to make up for the cost of the Wii U somehow.
Oh, God, yeah. So it's sad and everything that the Wii U has been a big failure and they're just moving on, but
like, there's some good games on the Wii U. It's kind of like the GameCube all over again, where it didn't sell as well as like an Xbox 360 or a PS2. But man, there's some good GameCube games.
But hopefully when the new console comes out, it'll be, you know, run everything that everything else can.
That's kind of what they need to do. It's like, The problem with the Wii and the Wii U is, like, the new Call of Duty will come out. And it won't come out for their console. It'll only come out for the PlayStation and the Xbox. So, what they need is they need a console that can compete with those two, that gets all the big stuff, but still has Mario and Zelda and, you know, all that stuff that everybody wants. That's why the Wii U failed, because, like,
and I think they need a controller that doesn't suck.
Oh, God, that's another thing. I've wanted to buy a Wii U for a long time, but you can't buy a used Wii U for less than $200. And
really?
The reason is, you can, but those don't have the gamepad. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you could just buy a replacement gamepad. You can't. That's another reason the Wii U failed super hard. If you break your gamepad, the big-ass controller that comes with it,
yeah,
you can't buy a replacement.
Really?
Nope. In Japan, you can, but they never started selling gamepads separately in the United States.
That's weird.
Right?
Wait, why couldn't you buy a Japanese one?
Because it's Japanese and it's a different region. Nintendo region locks their consoles.
Even the controllers?
Yeah.
So,
like, if you break your controller, well, now you just have a giant-ass paperweight because you can't do anything with it. So if you go on eBay and you're like, I want a used Wii U, it's like, I'm selling just the console for like $100. And I'm just like, God damn it.
So what's the point of buying a used Wii U?
You can't. Because most people are selling a used Wii U because they broke their gamepad. And even if they are selling a used Wii U, they're selling it for about the cost of a new one. Maybe they take off like $20 or $30, but since it still has that gamepad, it's kind of like, yeah. The Wii U was not a horrible failure, because there's some really good games on it, and it sold okay. Not a good console, like, at all. Even though it has Splatoon, and I want to be a kid now, I want to be a squid now.
Well, you know they're going to bring all those great games to the next console.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a sequel to Splatoon, that's going to come out on the next console.
Yeah.
But you've got, like, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, you have Bayonetta 2. I want to play all those games. They're on the Wii fucking U. Super Smash Brothers, that's a good-ass time, but it's on the Wii fucking U.
Yep.
Fucking Nintendo.
Yeah, that's a common theme of our show.
What, fucking Nintendo?
Yeah.
What else is going on? Let's get away from video games now.
All right, Michael, now you can tell the audience all about your successful acting career.
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, you can. Well, you didn't sign an NDAs, did you?
I don't think I signed it. I think I can't talk about the actual plot, but I can say I was on it.
Are you sure? Because I didn't sign an NDAs.
You're right. So I was on a show for Discovery
Channel. I'm not sure about PBS, though. But
PBS, I know I signed an NDA.
Oh, okay.
I was on a PBS true crime documentary
not,
show.
Not PBS.
Investigation Discovery. Yeah. Thank you. An Investigation Discovery true crime documentary show called Nightmare Next Door. And we recorded every fucking day last week, Monday through Thursday, for 12 hours. And then the episode...
Don't act like it wasn't a great time.
It was and it wasn't. I kind of... Okay, so I've always had a love-hate relationship with acting, where while I'm there, I'm like, man, I could be at home in my bed right now. But then when it's over, I'm like, oh man, it's over. Like, and then I enjoy... I mean, you went to one of the shoots. You just kind of sit there all day.
Yeah, I was having a good time, though. I mean,
the people are always cool, I think. It's cool when you're sitting in a room filled with people that are like, yeah, I'm a professional actor. It's always cool to get, like, you know, their input on what you should be doing. I always enjoyed that.
Yeah. But when I'm at home, I'm thinking, wow, I could be doing anything else right now. But I'm just playing Assassin's Creed for the billionth time. So when I'm on set or like at rehearsal during a show, I'm just like, I'm not doing anything right now, but I'd be not be doing anything at home either. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. I see what you mean. But, yeah, so I told people that I was going to be on this show, and then my mom freaked out about it, and she was like, when does it come on? And I'm like, I don't know, Mom, whenever the season starts. Well, why didn't they tell you when the show comes on? And I'm like, I don't know, Mom. Like, it's like fucking whatever.
They gotta edit it.
They gotta edit it and put it and, you know, do shit with it. Like, you better tell me when it comes on. I'm like, I don't know when it comes on.
Well, don't you have like a month range? Didn't you tell me something?
I think
about
it's
that?
Sometime in. I think it premiered. The season premieres in August, and then I think my episode is sometime in September.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be, and then I'm gonna be on TV. I'm gonna be on IMDb, and you're gonna be. I'm gonna be on IMDb, and
you're IMDb.
And you're gonna be like, "Who's Michael Beverly?" And then IMDb will pop up, and you'll be like, "Oh, he played Glenn in this show I've never heard of."
There's this goofy little shit. And hopefully I'll be on a thing soon, maybe. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that or no?
I don't know. I'll swipe over it very briefly. I was cast as one of the people, and then I went to the shoot a few days ago, and then I was there for 12 hours, well, like 10 hours, and the shooting schedule was such a mess. Like, one of the guys that was working on the show called this episode just like a Hail Mary. They just like went for it.
Oh my god.
Because everything was kind of like, because
you sent me your
apart.
Production schedule. Like, you took a screenshot of it and you sent it to me, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. They're doing like a million shots in a day.
It was a very ambitious day. So they never got to my scenes or anything.
I felt so bad.
So at the end of the day, they were like, sorry, sorry. And I was like, I can come back. And it's like, no, we wouldn't have time to film anything extra on the next few days either. It's like, still got paid for it.
But
still.
Now you have no proof that you were there.
Yeah, I just wanted to be like on IMDb and be like, look, Ma, there I am on TV.
Oh, no.
But no. God, same damn thing happened with House of Cards. Well, not the same thing.
That's
but
true. You've been on the same number of like things that I have. It's just like on my things you can see me and on your things you can't.
You little bitch.
You'll get one eventually.
Yeah, I just put out another one for the same company. Different show, though.
I did, too. I put one out, I think, last night.
Oh, well. Wait, you didn't put yours out for the 6'2", green-eyed, brown-haired guy,
that gets in
you?
A shootout? You're goddamn right I did.
God damn it, Michael.
I saw that.
I mean, I put myself down because, like, it's kind of a stretch. But
you're like, I'm like 6 foot.
I'm like a few inches shorter than they want me to
and
be,
I have
blue eyes.
Blue eyes. But other than that, if they're desperate enough,
yeah, they'll pick me. But God damn it, Michael.
They'll go with their average height, 5'10".
You know they'll pick you
black,
over me for some
black
reason.
Black hair, brown-eyed, giant-ass beard. They'll, you know, I have a chance.
God damn it, they're going to pick you and you're going to be in a shootout and I'm going to be so pissed.
Marshall, if you will beat everything I've done if you get in a crime recreation show and you get in a shootout. All I got to do was drive some random person's car and get pulled over by the cops. You get in a shootout, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would. But there's got to be somebody that matches that description better than I do.
You say that, but then you also remember how hard of a time they had casting the episode that you were in.
I think they were fine with the guys. They were, like, just kind of sifting through a bunch of guys, but mm-hmm. one of the girls dropped out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was on the website that we go on to find these gigs and everything, and I was like, huh, they need a Dawn for tomorrow. They need this girl for tomorrow for my show. Are they casting somebody the day before? I guess somebody dropped out. But yeah, they did find somebody that fit pretty well.
That's good.
But still, I'm upset.
You'll find something. You'll get it. You've got two and a half more months of just putting out job applications.
I need to be on TV.
Is that so much to ask?
Like, I've been to a few auditions, too. I drove to Baltimore.
I haven't done that yet. Everything that I've done so far has been based off of
everything
headshots.
And
just like,
I've had to go on audition for everything I've done.
So like, you had to audition for, oh, you did have to audition for House of Cards.
Like, sort of. I had to go somewhere and like get my picture taken and all that.
But like, fuck. I'd do bad at like college theater auditions in terms of how nervous I get. How nervous would I get at a professional audition?
So yeah, I went to
my hand
one
shake.
Casting
like,
company
really
to audition for a BWI commercial. And what's the line? Most low fare destinations for the last minute traveler. That's my BWI. And yeah, I didn't get that one.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. I've been wasting a lot of gas money on auditions.
What, you see? Welcome, this is the life, Marshall. Is this what you really want? Because this is kind of what it is.
And then I went to one that was like a student film, but mm-hmm. they pay me, so, you know. So I drove like a long ways to get to American University. American University is a nice campus.
I did not know that was a thing.
I didn't know what it was either. So, I don't know. It was kind of cool. And, yeah, I'm not good at auditions.
Yeah, I'm really bad at them, too. But I feel like, okay, let's talk about, now that you and I can consider ourselves, not to sound like an asshole, professional actors. Marshall.
I'm a professional guy.
We've been paid for it, which means we're professionals now.
I haven't acted, though. So I've been paid for to sit around.
So, like, I think that's the part that no one ever talks about if you want to be an actor. Everyone has heard, like, you got to get used to saying no. But no one talks about, A, the traveling, which I guess isn't a thing if you live in, like, L.A. or New York.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big deal for people that don't live on the Eastern Shore.
Well, I mean, even if you lived in, like, Annapolis, I had to drive to Frederick, and that was an hour past Annapolis. And, like, imagine if you drove 2 hours for an audition, 3 hours for an audition, and then you don't hear back. And it's just kind of like, well, shit. Not only did you get a no, but you also wasted all that gas money that you really don't have because you're not working. No one talks about that. So, like, ugh.
Yeah, I did feel really cool, though. Because I was sitting in the, like, holding room of the audition at American University when I got a call from the casting guy from the Investigation Discovery thing.
Did you look around the room at all the other people?
And I was like, this is a guy. This guy's going to get... I'm a professional.
What?
I mean...
Yeah, I can be on the show that day.
Yeah, and I would love to be on your television program.
Your television program!
Let me just make sure it doesn't conflict with my other acting things that I'm doing.
That and finding jobs. That's another thing that no one talks about.
I think that's the thing that everyone talks about.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because, like, we have other friends that want... Well, like, they talk about they don't know how to find jobs.
Oh, yeah.
But no one talks about how you find jobs. So it's kind of like...
People, like... that have, like, settled into the industry, I don't think have any problem finding it stuff. It's just mm-hmm. people starting out that don't have the connections and everything. Because there's a few guys that just, like, one of the fathers of the girls that was in the shoot just got off of his shoot. So he comes over and hangs out at ours. And when he gets offered another job, while at the shoot,
can you
come in on Monday and be a not a suspect, a witness? And it's like, you need to wear this and this. And it's like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And it's like, god damn,
this guy's doing it.
The work is just being thrown at this guy,
which is like what everyone wants. They don't want to have to hunt for it anymore. They just want, like, you want to come do this thing, and you're just like, yeah I want to be paid $100 a day, another day, like.
But the casting guy really appreciated my audition tape, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. My guy, so they had pictures of all the suspects and all the people, and I said...
Yeah, did you look at all, like...
I said,
like,
do you have a picture of the guy I'm playing? He goes, well, the guy that we interviewed didn't want to be shown on TV, which is why your name is a fake name. So really, we just casted you because we liked your look. And I was like...
God damn it, Michael!
I was like, I made it.
And I gotta be like, they have to do like background checks on me. It's like, can you act? Are you sure? Come
can
in
you
here.
Act? Are you? I mean, I've sent out other audition tapes. I had one that was for a series. It was for a reoccurring character on an entire season of a show, and I sent them my headshot, and then they emailed me back and they were like, "We want an audition tape." And I thought to myself, "Well, I'm too busy to make one, so fuck it. I'm probably not going to get it anyway." Then they called me and they were like, "Where's your audition tape? We really want an audition tape." And I was like, "Well, I'll make one." And then I sent one in and then I never heard back from them.
Was the one that I helped you with?
No, different one. Okay. I had to record it by myself at Joe's place, and I didn't have a tripod. So I took my phone.
Oh, you poor thing.
I took my phone and I got a bunch of books and I stacked them on top. Like, it was a lot of books. And then I leaned my phone on it to record it. And then I memorized a monologue in like 10 minutes, and then I did it.
Oh, which one did you do?
It was from
Did you do the one that I told you to do?
No, it was a random show that I found that I really liked the monologue for, but now I can't remember what it was.
What the show was?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
Yeah, but there was that one. I sent in the audition tape for that student film that didn't really pay, so I guess it's okay that I didn't get it.
Yeah, I sent in an audition tape to this museum. Like it was
going to be. I forgot about that.
It was going to be an interactive exhibit, for like this
for Jonestown. Jamestown. Oh, Jonestown would have been really sad. There's just no one here.
Yeah, the Jamestown settlement and like the first settlers there and everything, and so I would have been like. Like a young settler or something. And oh my god, that was so bad.
That was the most... Okay, I helped you make this, and it was... It took, what, 2 hours to make this audition tape?
Yeah, and it was still so bad.
Well, I mean, like, your monologue was fine, but they made you do a slate, which I had never seen someone do for an audition before, where they wanted you to stand profile and introduce yourself and be like, my name is Marshall Bailey, I like blah, blah, blah. And for some
but
reason...
But it was more complicated than any other slate, because they had some extra requirements. Usually it's just like, state your name, maybe your acting agency if you have one, and the role that you're auditioning for. But I had to do name, where it's from, if I can work local, if I'm available. I had to do like two profiles, so I had to like turn to each side.
And then the worst part, they wanted a full zoom out.
And since you're using a shitty
and we had to work with phone. What we have, I had to use my iPhone. And I'm like, well, if I just do a pinch to zoom, it's going to look bad. So I have to just step backwards. So I took the tripod and I just walked backwards. And it looked so bad. And just
it was
like
awful.
We couldn't get it right. We tried it for like 45 minutes and then we had somewhere to be. And I was like, Marshall, we have to go. And he was like, god damn it.
It's like, maybe if it was just the audition tape, I would have had a chance. But with that slate to begin with, they just like got 10 seconds into it, and they were just like, nope, I'm not even watching the audition. It was awful. But, yeah, that about sums up acting shit.
One last thing I want to rant about. The acting union. No one knows how that shit works because it's the most convoluted mess I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
And it's really, really expensive.
That too. Like, okay.
Apparently, people do like payment plans on it and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was one guy that I was talking to on my shoot who was a union actor, and he goes, okay, so first, if you gotta work on at least two union jobs, but most of them won't hire you unless you're union. Then if you work four union jobs, you're not allowed to do any more until you join the union. Oh, well, how much does it cost to join the union? $3,000 and then 200 something a year. And I'm just like, God.
Wait, 200 a year as well?
Yeah.
Damn.
So you pay $3,000 to join, and then a year later, at the beginning of the year, it's either a certain percentage of the wages that you made or like a flat rate of 200 something. And I think it's whichever one is more. But anyway, and then I'm like, this is the most convoluted jump through hoops mess ever. And then they're like, yeah, and around here, you really don't want to join. You only want to join when you move to like New York or Georgia. And I'm just like,
but I get the union now. Apparently if you're in union, they have to pay you overtime if you like go
oh, really?
To the shoot and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so. What else is there? It's, if it's a union job, then it has to have so many union actors on set. Like, I get that stuff. It's just joining that's very convoluted.
Yeah, I don't understand why, maybe because there's more guaranteed talent if you're only working with the union. I'm not sure what the, like, employer
motive is.
Why
would an employer
want
to do union? I think it depends on the company, too.
Okay.
If it's a company that normally works with union people... If it's a union company, then
yeah.
They work with union people. But, yeah. And then there's the occasional, like, loophole where anyone can get in it. Like, crime recreation shows for some reason.
Yeah.
Because, like, two of the people on my set were union and the rest of us were like, oh, this is, like, my second job. And, yeah. So, it sucks.
Yeah, there was one girl on my set that's just like, I have to join a union.
Really? Oh, yeah. She reached that point?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Could you imagine if you and I, like, got enough jobs to where Now we have to pay $3,000.
Yeah, hopefully by that time, we'd be in the industry well enough to like make up for that eventually.
Well, like, there's no point joining around here because there's not enough union. Because when you're when you're in a union, you can't take non-union jobs anymore. So,
which is really sad.
So, like, if you're around here, everything is non-union. So, you shouldn't join. You just shouldn't. We have friends that listen to this podcast that want to be actors. Acting friends, listen to our advice.
Oh, yeah, and don't get an agent.
Especially around here.
Yeah, I never planned to get one, but
when I was
people on... at the set were just like, yeah, hustle your own work.
That's the one thing that would make you consider getting an agent is like they'll hunt down the jobs for you.
They're supposed to hunt down
the jobs for you. Or they're supposed to, but then they also take a percentage of your wages. So it's kind of you're already getting paid maybe $100 a day here, and if they take like 40%, then you're getting paid
that much?
It's pretty high.
I was
depending on
like
your agent,
20 or something.
Which means then you're losing like $40, and it's just kind of like, well, shit. And then after gas around here, you're really not making that much. So you really should just jump through the hoops and find your own job.
Yeah, we were all talking about how far we had to drive to set, and it's like, yeah, I had to drive like 20 minutes, and it's like, oh, I was just right around the corner, basically. And it's like, yeah, I drove like an hour and a half. And everyone is like, oh my God, you drove all the way over here? And I was like, yeah, I mean,
I want to be an actor, guys.
There's nothing happening on the Eastern Shore.
Except for one random documentary that just kind of showed
filmed
up.
Filmed on the beach.
And when it did, Marshall, that town was freaking out about that documentary that PBS shot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was in local papers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just like, people were like, yeah, I found out about it because like my paper wrote about it for like a week. And there was a guy from the paper on set like every day taking pictures. And I'm just like, this is a big deal for this town.
Yeah, there was a guy that was talking to me. And I was like, yeah, you would have been great for
this
PBS documentary. And I was like, oh, yeah. Thought so too. I sent him my stuff, but you know, never heard back or anything.
Because they were like, "Hey, man, you want to be a Muslim?" And I'm like, "I mean, I'm not. I'm not." And they go, "It's fine. You have the look." And I'm just like, "Okay." Which makes me think, like, should I apply for job? Because I was on set
on acting websites and everything, you like check all the ethnicities that you can like play.
Portray. Okay. Have
you checked off on Muslim?
Yes.
Okay.
I always wonder, should I apply for jobs for like, cause I was on set for freaking the Investigation Discovery show and people asked me if I was Hispanic and I'm like, I'm not, but people make that mistake all the time.
Should I check that box?
Should I just apply for jobs that ask for Hispanic actors as long as I don't have to speak Spanish? Is that weird? Is that a thing that people do?
Yeah, people do it all the time.
Oh, well, then I guess I should do that. But
yeah, I have my box is checked for like Italian and Swedish and stuff, and you know, everything that requires me to be very white. but yeah, if you're like ethnically ambiguous, you've got it made because you can play everything.
I can play white guys. I can play Hispanic guys. I can play Muslim guys. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're bilingual, you also have it made. Especially
I speak fucking Japanese. That's not going to help me anywhere.
That's going to help you a lot.
Where? What shoot is going to be like when you're a Japanese-speaking tan guy?
Yeah, you're right. Well, there was two people on set that spoke Russian. And one was, I'm not sure why the older one knew Russian, but the other one was, like, born in Russia. And
wow.
Yeah. Russian ballerina. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into it, but she was
she was the character, not the girl.
No, the girl.
What?
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, after my like leg got injured or whatever, I was like, I'll try acting because it's like a lot less hard on you. And it's like, I mean, I still love ballet, but
I can't do it anymore. That's sad.
No, she can still do it, but for a while she was out of the game.
Mm-hmm. But anyway...
But yeah, this older Russian guy, he was like in his 50s or something. And, he wasn't actually Russian, but he spoke Russian. But he gets a lot of work as a guy speaking Russian.
Huh.
He was, Yeah. Apparently he was on season 3 of House of Cards as, like, a Russian guy that was supposed to... I need to watch that episode. Apparently Kevin Spacey's, like, getting on a plane or something. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with the Russians. And, like, he's pretty tall. And he's standing there and he says something in Russian to Kevin Spacey. And it's like, oh, shit.
There was one guy on my set that was in Veep. And he got an extras was it the same guy? Maybe. He got an extras role as one of the Secret Service agents.
Did we work with the same guy?
And he goes...
Did he have white hair?
No. That's and shit. He goes, so they needed him. So in every single scene where she's being followed by the Secret Service, he goes, yeah, if you look in the background, you'll like see me in the group of Secret Service agents. And I'm like, that's really fucking funny.
Yeah. My, the Russian dude is in the Secret Service for Veep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Lots of people work on Veep and House of Cards here.
Well, Veep doesn't film here anymore.
They shoot all their exterior shots here. So you think it's filmed here, but, all of their indoor stuff they shoot in LA. But then House of Cards shoots fucking everything here.
Which is really cool.
It's really cool that there's at least one thing that keeps people employed around here.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have to leave soon.
Yeah, I do.
So we're going to wrap
this
week. I
got to go play with like animals and stuff.
Hopefully. Don't lose an arm. But
yeah, next week I'll tell you all about my adventures with animals.
With the zoo. But anyway, that wraps this week. Thank you for listening, everyone. Okay. Like and subscribe on iTunes. Like us on Facebook.
Check out Everything is Edible.
Check out Everything is Edible. Follow me on Twitter at TheMikeBeverly. Marshall?
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Get out. Turn off the podcast.
Go home.